gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all point buttons. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
Attention. This is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
As soon as I'm ready to go on here. Wow, why am I not hearing myself? Hello, hello, there I am. As soon as I was ready to go on, the phone started ringing here. Yeah, it's not like I do a show right at this time, and everybody, they always call me right at showtime. Isn't that weird? Let me adjust something here. What does it say?
She's going to stop at RN, RN, and do we want anything?
Yeah, tell her to buy meat. Meat, we need more meat. And tell her, ask her why she texts right when the show goes on the air. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program, and I am getting tons of email from you folks. The Facebook fan page is just taken off, and I haven't checked MySpace today, but the Yahoo page, the Facebook page, I just got one here. This calls back to, I'm getting emails from all kinds of different groups about the illegal immigration issue. Every one of them positive. I haven't gotten any hate mail on this issue.
I'll send you one, pretending.
Yeah, Lou's going to send one, but I guess what's happening is that... they're not listening. The bad guys are not listening. Oh, that's why I couldn't hear myself. Let me turn this down a little bit. I hope I'm not distorting you guys. Let's do this. I'll take that down. Bring this up. My headphones were turned off. And bring this one down. We've got the fan real close. You're going to hear that. It's getting hot here. Just a nice, cloudy, hot day. But I haven't been getting any hate mail. I've been getting a lot of oohs from people and people wanting information about this July 9th, 10th, and 11th issue. But anyway, let me continue with the intro. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program coming to you live Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. from UBroadcast for now. We're trying to do the Ustream, but we're just having too many problems, not with Ustream, but with our computers dealing with it, from DutchJones.tk. And then at 6 o'clock, we do two broadcasts. At the same time for Liberty Tree Radio, and that's libertytreeradio.4mg.com to check into that. That's Mark Kornke's group, and we're honored to be on there. How are we looking? Let me know if I'm overdriving or anything over there, Lou. We're coming to you from the church at Kaweah in Kaweah, California. That's K-A-W-E-A-H, if you want to Google that, Kaweah, California. Right outside Sequoia National Park, we're surrounded... on two sides by federal land and on two sides by private land, and it's a beautiful place to live. The heat is a little unbearable in the summertime, but we'll get used to it. I've been here for 5 years now, and actually we're having a more mild summer. We're not having a lot of the 100 and teens, but we're going to have to get used to that because next month we're going to be down in Arizona, several of us, and it's going, for a couple of days. She just said okay.
Yeah. Okay. She said she got off work and she texted us earlier, but no response.
I was sleeping. You probably didn't hear it. And we try to do a militant Christian worldview type of show. We are Christians first. We are all soldiers in God's army, whether we want to be or not. Some people just choose to sit on their hands and do nothing. But if you are a Christian and you are saved, the call is put before you. And how you answer it is up to you. So many Christians today think that the church rules over us and the state rules over us, but you can't mix the two. It's a complete falsehood. And if you want to learn more about that, you need to go to the Church at Kaweah's website. You can do that link by going to DutchJones.tk. go there and you can hear sermons from our pastor, Warren Mark Campbell, on the role of the state and the role of the Christian in governing. So we put out a completely different type of show. I haven't heard anything like our show. That's why I chose to do it. You might have some shows that deal with illegal immigration, the militia, with history, with immigration again. Like I said, I think I already said immigration. With racial issues. But you're not going to hear anyone that does it consistently and constantly. And that's why I'm glad you're here. So I'm getting emails from all kinds of people. I just got one from Dan in Las Vegas. And he said he enjoys the show and he just started listening. So thank you, Dan, for that. We've got Alan Marion Jr. sent me an email and he's looking for a plug for, let's see, he goes, "Hello, I am the Kleagel of Arizona." I assume that's like a Ku Klux Klan thing, rank there. And he's, "I told you, we get all types listening."
You're a supporter.
And he's wants people to that are interested in what he's doing to give him a shout out at, how do you do this, KuKluxKlanAZ@yahoo.com. So let that guy know that you heard about him on the Dutch Jones Show, one way or another there. He says he's listening right now. It just came in at 5:01 p.m. So I told you, we reach out to everyone here. We may not support everyone's cause, but we respond to everyone's activities that they're doing. If we agree with the activities that they're conducting in fighting for the holy cause of liberty, and like the reason we left First Amendment Radio, you may remember all those years ago. Actually, just a couple months ago. Man, it's, time is slow. Seems like we've been off of First Amendment Radio forever, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And we're still getting people sending us emails saying that was the best thing we ever did. We interviewed a Klansman who was involved in a lawsuit against the state of, I think it was Arkansas or Missouri, I can't remember which now, that weren't allowing them to use public state parks. And the ACLU was representing them, and they won, and the state was refusing to acknowledge it because they wanted to fly some Confederate flag. It had nothing to do with the Klan, really, but the Klan were the people on the forefront of that battle to representing history and Southern heritage. So we did a story on them, and we got a lot of heat for that. So we're not a pro-Klan radio station, radio show, but we're not anti-Klan either.
But some people say if you have them on,
If you have them on, you must be 100% Klan. No, there's some things, and each Klan is different. And the reason I bring it up is just because it's important that people know that. We had a recent article here in the newspaper for Fresno. Somebody carved a swastika and WP, standing for White Pride or White Power, depending on who did it. I don't know who did it. On a fence that belonged to a black family, the Johnson family, in somewhere in Fresno. And immediately they accused the Klan of it, which I thought was funny because the Klan doesn't use swastikas. And so I wrote a little letter to him saying, well, it's probably more likely a skinhead group or a National Socialist group. I go, you guys know what National Socialists are. That's what our president is. He's a National Socialist, but he's black, so it'll confuse you. I don't think they're going to print that letter. They hardly ever print. I can honestly say I'm zero. I'm at 100% not having any of my letters published because I usually take a different stand. Now, I've got a lot of emails on people and IMs and whatever you want to call them asking about information again about the rally call to Arizona to the, what was it called again, the Buenos Aires Wildlife Preserve. And that's going to be the 9th, 10th, and 11th. And I was talking to some people last night, and several of us are going to go. Let me give you the phone number to call again if you want to go, because most of you, and I'm getting so many asking for the phone number, it's easier just to give it out. This is being recorded, right, Lou? Mm-hmm. And then Olema will have it in the archives, so people will listen to it. It's area code 619-300-6883. Area code 619-300-6883. Ask for Pete. Tell him you heard about it on the Dutch Jones radio program. And here's an email. And this one's got some underscores in it. You know what those are? That's the little line that goes low. It's not a dash. It's an underscore. It's at the bottom of the words.
You've got to hold shift, then press it.
Shift, then press it. Thank you, Lou. Coalition of Patriots 1776 at hotmail.com. I'll give it one more time here. Coalition_of_patriots 1776 at hotmail.com.
Is that 1776 also underscored?
No, there's no underscore. It's just the underscores go between coalition and of and patriots. So coalition_of_patriots 1776 at hotmail.com. It's a little hard for those. I always mess those up when I try to use them. But the phone number to call in here, if you want to talk about it, want to ask me what kind of gear you should bring. I'm not an expert on operations in Arizona, but I'm an expert in operations on the border in California and Arizona and Texas and a couple other places where I've served with other groups and vigilante groups and just plain old ranchers. I've had ranchers just hire us, groups I've been with, different militias, pay us a dollar and let us live on their property. And back in the good old days when we could actually round them up and zip tie them. But federal law enforcement has frowned on that. We're just to act as spotters. But that doesn't mean that we're not supposed to be able to defend ourselves. Big discussion last night was what kind of weapon should we bring? Because we're going to transport across state lines from California to Arizona to do this. And we're thinking, what should we take? Well, of course, this is going to get out. And all the little beady-eyed highway patrolmen are going to be looking for us, you know, four men, five men in an SUV heading out on a Thursday. They're going to pull us over. So pay attention to what your state's firearms laws are. You know, I mean, even though we have legally grandfathered high-capacity mags, we won't be bringing them. I know that sounds stupid.
The low-cap mags?
Yeah, we'll be bringing the low-cap mags. Actually, I'm just bringing a sidearm and a scout rifle. The one that I showed you guys a couple weeks ago on my show and tell, the Mosin Nagant that's chopped, carbined with a long eye relief scope. We've got some other people here that don't even have long guns. We're probably just going to loan them a Mosin Nagant. I'm not going to bring a Mini 14 or anything. I don't want to give a cop a reason to steal it, because that's what they're going to do, especially in California or Oklahoma. I have no love for the highway patrol in Oklahoma. They've already stolen stuff from me. And so I'm going to bring weapons that I can afford to lose. So that's just my comment. I'm not saying you have to do it, but I'm just telling you that we will be harassed, especially if this is going to embarrass the local, state, and federal governments. Now, Arizona, once we get there, the Arizonians are probably going to embrace us. We're going to be operating in counties where the sheriffs are just furious over this, the federal government giving this land back. So I don't think we're going to have a problem. Once we get in Arizona, it's going to be like, showing up as, I don't want to say returning heroes or liberating forces, but they're going to be happy we're there. The goal is to have at least 70 people show up, but the more the merrier on this weekend. And I want you to give me a call, 559-561-8225. If you're borderline, if you think, you need some encouragement, why should we do this? Aren't militias supposed to act locally? Aren't militias supposed to just take care of their neighbors? Well, sometimes we rally. We play, I don't know if we played it on the build-up to the show, but the Alamo. Militias showed up to defend Texas in their secession from Mexico. California. It was militias that seceded from Spanish-controlled Mexico when California became a state. The Bear Flag Republic, which lasted unfortunately too short a time before it aligned with the Union out of fear of Russia and Spanish reprisals. I'm simplifying the history, but that's basically what it was. Now, so if this were going on in Vermont, it's far too far away for us. But here, those of us in the western edge of the United States, the Pacific Southwest, Pacific Southwest. Yeah, I guess it would be the Pacific Southwest, the American Southwest, let's say that, are facing a unified foe in this immigration issue. I'm going to stop saying illegal immigration, not because I think it's mean to the immigrants to call them illegal, but I think all immigration from south of the border should be stopped. That is the official view of the Dutch Jones radio program, that all immigration south of the border is dangerous to our sovereignty, and we need to stop allowing them to come in. We need to just increase on the influx of Latinos, Mesoamericans, We just were driving through Farmersville today, and what did we see, Liv?
Aztec Pride
on a great big wall, and it showed the temples and pyramids that they have down in Teotihuacan.
You should take a red Sharpie and draw a heart.
Yeah, we should take a Lucy. We should take a red Sharpie and show blood going down the footsteps and a heart in the hands of the Aztec warrior. Had like an Aztec warrior on it. Now, had I put Euro Pride or White Pride up on the side of a building that I had control of anywhere in this state, they'd burn it down. And white people would help them do it, even though it's not a racial issue. It's a geographical, national sovereignty issue. They keep wanting to make it about race. It just infuriated me to see this Aztec Pride thing. So the official view is no more immigration from south of the border. You put up a moat. You put up four lengths of fence, barbed wire, patrol it with dogs, put landmines on one stretch of it. Even if you don't put landmines, put up signs that there are landmines. And you patrol it. You use every bit of technology that you can. You put the National Guard. You rotate their 2 weeks out of the year on the border. I don't care if they're from Rhode Island. They're going
to
spend 2 weeks on the border.
Go to the Home Depot
and get a landmine sign. I don't think they have those at Home Depot. You'll have to make one.
Got a daily round.
Yeah, but that's the official opinion. So the reason I think that this call out is legitimate is that we all suffer, and we all, on the other side, benefit because of what Arizona's doing. Arizona's stuck themselves out on a limb internationally and nationally doing what they're doing. And we need to support them. Because I don't think the forces inside Arizona, and you know, God bless the militias there, God bless the politicians that are right thinking there, but I don't think they have the strength to go up against the entire federal tyrant or all of the knee-jerk libtards that are supporting the defiling of Arizona's law. And the full force of the world is coming down in Arizona. It's going to be the focal point. And I think that we in the militias have to stand up for them, especially Christian militias. Do not move the landmarks of our fathers. It says so in the Bible. I've shared that verse with you. It is ungodly to do what the federal government is allowing to happen in Arizona, New Mexico, California, Texas, and states all across the Union where illegals are just like a virus infecting. Well, this is our neck of the woods. The American Southwest is part of Aztlan, and I don't care if I'm pronouncing it wrong. I got a couple heebie-jeebie illegal alien supporters. You're not saying Aztlan right. I don't care. I disrespect your language, so I'll mispronounce your words. I'm a European Caucasian, and I can't pronounce a lot of the words from Europe. So get over yourself. If I mispronounce Aztlan, too bad. You know, why don't you learn English?
Well, they can't attack you on anything else.
Yeah, it's not. Well, they can attack me on everything. So, they're coming from the moral low ground. Historically, they're incorrect. Biblically, they're wrong. Politically, they're wrong. Morally, they're wrong. It's just they have no moral foundation to stand on. Any of these people, all the way down to the invading people themselves, to those who support them, to the politicians in office, to the corporations that use modern day slavery to employ them and entice them to come over. You know, of course, I'm talking about Tyson Chicken, ConAgra, all of these farms down here that are crying and screaming about their water being cut off. They're the ones bringing them here. They're waving the big old carrot on a stick to get them here. That doesn't excuse them from breaking the law, but it gives you an idea of why they come here. And illegal immigration, just like it destroyed Rome, it wasn't immigration. It was basically an influx of foreign pagan cultures that destroyed Rome. Well, Rome went from paganism to Christendom, we know that. But they allowed the influx of barbarians to control the military, to control their defenses, and we're heading the same way. The United States is the new Rome, except we didn't last 1,000 years. We've left our doors open. It's like we're like the blind tourist who thinks everything's fine. You know, they come out from Iowa where they don't lock their doors, they leave their keys in the ignition, which I miss those days, but it's naive. They get off the wrong exit in L.A., they're looking for Disneyland, and they decide to leave their car and go into the Tasty Freeze and get some cones. They come out and their car's gone because they left the keys in it. They left it running. Well, you can't apply the Leave It to Beaver attitude to the war zone that these invaders have created, all of them, the legal and illegal ones. They've destroyed our school systems. You cannot tell, and I'm not a fan of public school. I wish they were destroyed, but not at the cost of our children. It should be the parental family decision to pull all the kids out of public school. It's a trough that we feed at. It's so-called free daycare, but it's not free. It has one of the highest costs of all, our future, because it perverts the brains of our children and robs our... We pay for it. It robs our pocketbooks to brainwash our kids. So what do? They allow the influx of these mestizos, these conquered people, Indian tribes that have been just raped by Europe. That's a fair thing to say. They have been. But so what? Life's unfair. That doesn't mean you blame us for it, because your whole nation surrendered to every European country that came in. But they're flooding our schools and dumbing it down and destroying it. In fact, I can say that, and this is going to make a lot of people mad, since the federal government went in and forced integration of the southern schools, and then ipso facto the western schools, with the, because we didn't have a whole lot of African Americans out here when that happened, it was, you know, and then it's built up, they've applied the same rules. English is a second language, Spanish only classes. They've destroyed the school system from within. They did it to themselves, but it's part of their master plan. When I say they, those of you that are new to the show, because I've had some new people email and say they just discovered us, it's part of the master plan of the New World Order to destroy the minds of the people so we can't resist. So they can't resist. We can resist. Because why? We homeschool. We homeschool. And we cover Mexican heritage. We cover African history. But we don't raise it to a level where it's super citizenship, super student demands. And then this whole thing started for me, for those of you that don't know that I've been doing this forever in different forms. I started out in pirate radio with small wattage amplifiers. What really did it for me was when they started marching in the streets demanding free things. And you hear on the clips, what's the Carl Klang song where it's all the mestizo Mexican whatever protesters saying, you know, we're going to destroy you and send you back to Europe. What's that song?
Get a Grip on Immigration.
Get a Grip on Immigration. Can we use that as our going out on the half hour break?
Yeah,
when we come up in about 4 minutes when we're doing the break. I want you to listen to what these people say. I've heard it. I've been to these rallies. I've shown up with a 2x4 with a sign stapled to it and been attacked. I've seen them attack women in wheelchairs, elderly women at work sites in Pomona that I've shown up to protest. I am not a Johnny-come-lately to this immigration issue. I am not someone who stood on the sidelines. I've been to the protests. I've been there when people have been hit in the head with cans of paint out in front of Home Depot. I've been to places where they've been allowed to do whatever they want. We show up to protest that, where they defecate in people's lawns. They sleep in alleys just so they can be near the Home Depot to get work. In fact, I want to encourage you to go to DutchJones.tk, DutchJones.tk, and look at Lou's video pick of the week. It's embedded there. There's a link that drops down to it. So it's the video. Is that how it's called? Is it called Lou's Video of the Week or just Video of the Week?
Video of the Week.
Video of the Week. It's one that... I believe Minuteman sent us, and it's excellent. And it's unabashed sarcasm. It's not racism, it's sarcasm. Because the situation has gotten so far out of control, it's become a punchline now. Immigration. And I'm not even going to call it illegal immigration. If I say illegal immigration, it's a slip of the tongue. The invader immigration. The fifth column. They're here, they're advanced operational units, scouts, to work for the taking of the Southwest. And it's not just going to be the Southwest. They want all of California. I think we can hold them at Tejon Pass. What is that called? The Grapevine?
I don't know.
Those of you that are in Southern California... Ah, there's a hornet. Let me open the window and let it... Actually, look, get up and open the window. It wants to get out. We here in California get a lot of flack because, you know, we're at the base of it. Everything here, oh, there's no use. Why are you even trying in California? Well, we can save some of California. We're not all movie stars and... okay, shut it. We're not all movie stars and liberals out here. The state has three distinct regions, north and south, and far more regions that are divided up within those. So don't for a minute forget that we're on the front lines here in California. And as bad as it may be in Detroit, Atlanta, Boston, Chicago, it's 1,000 times worse here because this is where they want to operate out of first. Once they grab a hold of California, they're going to use it as a toehold to attack the rest of you. They're not going to be content because there are mestizo immigrants all over this nation. I've seen them in Boston. I've seen them in New York City. I've seen them in Florida. I've seen them in Spokane. I've traveled this country in my short little, you know, unimportant life, and I've seen it. And I've seen it double, quadruple. Is that a word? Quadruple? Fourfold, I've seen it. I've seen their graffiti. I've seen the broken windows. I've seen the street corners where they take over. I've seen them drive African Americans out of their neighborhoods first, and now they're driving whites out of their neighborhoods. It's not a white versus brown. It's un-American versus American. Do you understand that? Can I make it any simpler for you? That's why I don't talk to the press, because they want to make it a racial issue. It's easy for them to defeat us by doing it. Oh, it's just a bunch of anti-brown people. No, I'm anti-Mexican. I'm anti-third world nation flotsam and jetsam coming into our nation. I mean, Calderon would be catapulting him over the wall if it comes to that. He wants them out of his country so they can make money here and send it back. The rest of the countries down there, they're not as much, you know, but they, El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala, they want their little peons out too. But Mexico, I mean, you can't ignore Mexico. It's a festering ulcer on our bottom down there, literally. I don't know why we didn't take it in the Mexican-American War. I just, not that I want Mexico to be a state now, but it would have been so much easier if we had just devastated them and not allowed them to do what they've done. Wow, that was a quick end there. Thanks, Lou, for playing that. We're going to be back after the break. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. I'm hoping to get some calls today. I want to hear from you about stuff. Here's a song for all of you liberals who believe your ways are best, who don't mind overcrowding this nation with a swarm of foreign immigrants, who don't care about the population, who don't care if it's about...
It is time to organize, it's a time of war, and it's time to revolt, and it's your time to show we are a people of a struggle hasta San Diego.
We got crime overtaking our cities. We got gangs taking over our streets. We keep handing out more and more welfare, though it never seems to meet their needs. What kind of culture are we cultivating? One where you never have to pull any weeds. If we don't stop this immigration, this great nation's gonna fall. Let's get a grip on immigration in the great United States.
It's high time we remember. Too many whites came. We couldn't stop you. Too many blue eyes.
See how we are rapidly becoming another third world fascist state. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. How can we ever come to any solution?
We're going to take over all the political institutions of California. In 5 years, the Hispanics are going to be the majority population of the state.
You also made the statement that California is going to become a Hispanic state, and that if anyone doesn't like it, they should leave. Did you say that?
I did. They ought to go back to Europe.
Get a grip on immigration. Now you know it's not too late. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time we start closing that gate and quit trying to.
Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist. And quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on the immigration in these great
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Without a gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out on all points, bum. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
And this is something completely different. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. I don't know what the date is. What is this today? The 24th of June, 2010. This is a live call-in show. If you have never called in, it's not hard. You just dial the number.
It's so easy
and it's so easy a caveman can do it. I love those commercials. And you go straight on the air. There's no screening. I just say, hello, who are you, and what do you want to talk about? And you just give your first name. Don't give your last name, because these shows are being recorded by them and us. And just you can talk. And it can be about what we talked about the last half hour, or something on your head that's militia-related, something like that. You know, and it very seldom do I hang up on people. I mean, if somebody just comes on and starts just talking scripture and telling me that I'm not fitting their 501c3, tickle my ears, fill the pews kind of gospel, I hang up on them. I'm done fighting with the idiots. I'm not here to save sheep. I'm looking for sheepdogs. People that are potential sheepdogs, people that are already sheepdogs, people who just woke up. We have a few listeners that have sent me emails and go, hey, I just woke up. What's going on? I mean, they're still rubbing the sleep out of their eyes. They're still not sure what political parties they should vote for. In fact, when I just say, well, if you're not voting Constitution Party, you're probably just wasting your vote, because God knows who you vote for. And we push the full... Here, let me get the exact quote. We press the full crown rights of Jesus Christ into everything that we do here on the Dutch Jones Radio Program and the Church of Kaweah and our burgeoning but tiny militia group here. Actually, we are the ERF, the Emergency Response Families. Yeah, and we're doing that just because we're not just militia. We deal with survival. We deal with disaster recovery. We deal with shelters, sheltering refugees that may occur, because it may not be Big Brother that stomps us first. Martial law may be off on the horizon. We don't know. I'm not a prophet. But it may be a forest fire that displaces our neighbors, and even if we don't like them in that type of situation, boy, would we go a long way to maybe changing some of their feeble little knee-jerk reaction, libtard minds if we come to the rescue. We're trying to find a fire truck. A lot of us have that experience. I've worked in fire. I think it's probably the longest job I've had as an adult in fire and public safety, things like that. And it would be good to help out our community. So that's what we're doing here. Do you guys remember, I think it was either yesterday or the day before, I said, keep an eye on Venezuela. Something's up. He swapped around some of his cabinet, you know, so people could run for office. He's a socialist. Good friend of Barack Obama. Barack Obama has been caught reading his book. You notice Hugo Chavez hasn't been calling Barack Obama the great Satan or anything like that. Well, he did it, I think it was yesterday. No, he did it today. Venezuela is nationalizing U.S. firms' oil rigs. I knew this was coming. He did it before to a couple of European oil rigs on the Orinoco River, I think is the name of it. Big lake. I can't remember the name of the lake. I actually saw him. It's pretty cool to see oil rigs on a lake. But this comes from Reuters, dated today at 8:36 a.m. Venezuela will nationalize a fleet of oil rigs belonging to U.S. company Helmrich and Payne. And that Payne is spelled P-A-Y-N-E. Helmrich is H-E-L-M-E-R-I-C-H. The latest takeover in a push to socialism as President Hugo Chavez struggles with lower oil output and a recession. He's getting the ideas from Obongo. Hey, Obongo nationalized the auto industry. He nationalized banks. He's nationalized medicine. So old Hugo down there, little Fidel II, is going, wait a minute, if he can do that in a so-called republic slash withered down to a democracy, why can't he? Now, a former soldier inspired by Cuba's Fidel Castro, Chavez has made energy nationalization the linchpin of his revolution. He has also taken over assets in telecommunications, power, steel, and banking. Now, the 11 drilling rigs that have been idle for months following a dispute over pending payments by the OPEC members' state oil company, PDVSA, a lot of people don't realize that OPEC has Venezuela in it. And they're a member, they're a voting member of the oil-producing energy cartel or whatever it is. I don't know what OPEC stands for. I should know, but I don't. But he owes a lot of money. Now, Oil Minister Rafael Ramirez said on Wednesday the rigs of the Oklahoma-based company's entire Venezuelan fleet were being nationalized to bring them back into production. Ramirez said companies that refused to put their rigs into production were part of a plan to weaken Chavez's government. That's how it looks on the surface, and that's not always the truth. There is a group of drill owners that has refused to discuss tariffs and services with PDVSA and have preferred to keep their equipment stored for a year, Ramirez told reporters in the oil-producing state of Zulia, Z-U-L-I-A. I don't know how to pronounce it. Don't care. This is the specific case with U.S. multinational company Helmrich & Payne. The company was not immediately available for comment. However, when I looked this up, we're talking like $100 million in failure to pay. The government of Venezuela is supposed to pay for the oil that comes out of those. And it's $100 million, and they refuse to pay. So the oil companies just shut them down, so old Hugo isn't getting his kickback. Chavez, who faces legislative action in September, often pushes ahead with radical plans during election campaigns. The 55-year-old leader is having a hard time with his 11th year in power. Boy, I can't believe it was 11 years ago I was down there protesting the government's when he was elected. I was there for the election. I actually got deported from Venezuela, those of you who haven't heard the story. I've been deported from a country. Now, this year is the worst performing, the economy in Venezuela is the worst performing in Latin America this year. A problem exacerbated by the drop in oil output since 2008, power outages, and soaring inflation. You want to see what's going to happen to America? Basically, Obongo didn't nationalize the oil rigs yet, but he told them they couldn't drill. The takeover of Helmrich & Payne's rigs was not a surprise, considering Chavez's penchant for nationalizing a company's refusal to work before he paid the $49 million it has invoiced PDVSA. Now, I looked it up other places, it was as high as $110 million. So, this article is saying $49 million, but I've looked up some other numbers and no. Helmrich & Payne is a small player in the drilling industry, but global giants like Halliburton, Schlumberger & Baker, Hughes have had a presence in Venezuela. Halliburton and Schlumberger have avoided public spats with the government. It's called payola. Chavez has kept pressure on the private sector in recent months, blaming a parasitic bourgeoisie for Venezuela's recession and 30% annualized inflation. See what socialism gets you guys? He's had 11 years to do this. Obongo's only, what, his first year? Or are we heading second? I think we're coming up on second. He has threatened to nationalize Polar, the top brewing and food processor in the country, of $30 million. He's going to nationalize the food. That's what's going to happen here. The government has also seized a bank belonging to the owner of the leading opposition TV station and put an arrest warrant out for his partner, who is now on the run. It's a socialist act. It's funny, I'm reading this, and right next to it is an ad. It says Newsmax.com, which is, of course, this right-wing pro-Israel place, but it says be peace bill, blame Obama. It's got a picture of Obama looking all cocky with his head tilted back. Everything I'm reading here could be, 2 years from now, is you could be reading it and Obama's going to do it. Now, Chavez in 2007 nationalized multi-billion dollar projects in Venezuela's vast Orinoco oil region, persuading companies such as British Petroleum, PLC, to accept minority stakes in the facilities that they had built. Last year, he ordered the takeover of dozens of smaller oil service companies, reeling from a sharp plunge in oil prices, struggling to pay contractors. So pretty much, if he owes you money, just like, typical dictator, if you owe someone money, they're just going to come and take you. So they won't have to pay you again. It's just kind of like the old days when in America, when the fanaticism over witches took over. If you owed somebody money, just accuse them of sorcery or witchcraft. Kind of like today, if people want to destroy you, they just call you a racist.
Or a Jew.
Or an anti-Semite. When he was flush with oil cash during a boom in oil prices that ended in 2008, Chavez often compensated nationalized companies fairly. Although in 2007, takeovers led to lawsuits from ConocoPhillips and Exxon, which have just been sitting in courts. I mean, most recently, Venezuela has been slower in paying for compensation. Socialism works, doesn't it? It's kind of like starving your body when you have socialism. Eventually, it starts to eat its essential organs and its muscle, and that's what it's doing here. And it's what's happening in Venezuela is going to happen here. And it doesn't really matter if you have a Democrat or a Republican in office in your state seats or anything like that. So all you people are like, vote the bums out, vote the bums out. This slide into socialism that this nation has seen has absolutely nothing to do with political parties. It has to do with a higher, overbearing plan that the New World Order has. But I think it's just funny that I was talking about Venezuela doing some stupid stuff, and there they are doing it right there. And they're not even, it's like, I remember a time when American companies were seized in these little tinhorn tyrants' neighborhoods that we would send in troops. I'm not always saying that's right, but think about all the American investors now. They're looking at their portfolio that are parts of these companies, and everything just got taken over by Venezuela, and you don't hear a hoot from our government. Pretty interesting, isn't it? I think it is. Maybe you don't, but interesting. I don't know if anybody's following the G20 summit. I don't really care. I mean, I know the New World Order's completely destroying the world's economy and the great big banks of the world are going to come in and do what they want to do. But here's a neat little article. Canada police stop weapons-laden car near G20 summit. Now, listen to what in Canada, they do. And I'm looking at a picture here. It's hilarious what the car looked like. The guy basically put up a big red flag that says, hey, I'm a loon. Come check me out. Canadian police Thursday arrested the driver of a car laden with 5 fuel canisters, a chainsaw, a homemade crossbow, close to the Toronto Center where G20 leaders will meet. The gray-haired, bespectacled driver was hustled away by police after they stopped his car because it was topped with a large homemade steel container, a police spokesman said. Metal storage box was riveted together and balanced on some foam on the roof of a silver Hyundai as it cruised past the downtown Novotel Hotel, less than a half mile, under a kilometer, for those of you that like metrics, from the convention center where the world leaders are gathering this week for the G20 summit. The design of the vehicle gave us some concern, Constable Hugh Smith told reporters as firefighters, hazardous material crews, and a bomb disposal squad arrived to secure the car. Now, granted, it could have been a giant car bomb, so that's okay. I understand their concern. Smith confirmed a man in his mid-50s had been arrested, but could not confirm his identity, and said no charges have yet been brought. Now, this is an ongoing investigation, he said, adding that the car was filled with weapons of opportunity. Okay, listen to how the phrase they're using. It was filled with weapons of opportunity. So far, the crossbow is the only thing I see as a weapon. But when you know what the firing rate of a crossbow is and what you have to go through to use it and the effective ranges, it's not really a... It's a great hunting tool. It might work once in a crowded room. But I love that. Weapons of opportunity.
Isn't that everything?
Yeah, pretty much everything. A pencil, this cup, that aluminum can right there. I don't know about the hair. Yeah, the hairbrush. I could probably kill you with the hairbrush.
Head.
What?
Your head.
The human head. Yeah, it's a weapon of opportunity. It was the second such arrest in 2 days after police on Wednesday arrested a man and a woman in a home close to Toronto and charged them with possession of explosives. I don't know how they found out about that. Some 20,000 police have been deployed across Toronto and further north into the lakeside community of Huntsville for the summit of G8 and G20 leaders, which will begin Friday. Oh, it's written wrong. Which begin Friday. Okay, I guess that works. A swath of downtown Toronto has been ringed with steel barricades. Schools and businesses have been closed. And one level of the main Union Station has been shut down, leaving only local trains available to ferry passengers. Look how much they displace everybody, even in Canada. Lovable Canada. I mean, you never hear about Canada having extreme right-wing fanatics, do you? And they're not even using it in the article. I bet this guy was a Tea Party goer. Watch, you can say, find out that he'd been to a Tea Party website where he had a T-shirt or a bumper sticker or something. Watch. Yeah, and see, I'm really glad we found this, said one policeman to the Associated Press, as his colleague leaped through the Hyundai's contents, now listen to this, which were emptied onto the roadside and surrounded by police on bikes, as a small crowd of onlookers gathered. So it could still be a car bomb, and they have all these people around it. Great, great security. Inside the car, they found 5 blue and red fuel canisters, some only partially full, a half-empty soft drink bottle. Why aren't they specifying the soft drink? I have reason to believe that Pepsi light drinkers are terrorists, so I'd like to know what that soft drink bottle was. A bundle of arrows with red and yellow tips. Doesn't say what kind of tips they were. It's probably those little suction cup tips, and they didn't want to say that. As well as a large chainsaw, the homemade orange steel crossbow, and this is Lou's favorite assault weapon at Walmart, baseball bat. 3 medium-sized suitcases were found to be stuffed with batteries, scribbled notebooks, a copy of, and this is a telltale, this is the new Catcher in the Rye. If people have this book, they're probably a programmed assassin. 100 Ways to Make Money on the Internet. There's probably something encoded in that book. There was also a tall, oversized wooden paddle, a bottle of cleaning fluid, and a dirty sleeping bag stuffed in the trunk. The arrested man showed some disorientation in answering questions, Smith said, adding, we are not up north or deer hunting, so these weapons were a matter of concern. So far, the only weapon there was a homemade crossbow with what may or may not be suction cup arrows, because they're not saying they were broad points, razor points, stun points. They're just saying, it sounds to me like they were suction cup. He said the hazardous material team would be analyzing the contents of the fluid containers to see what they were, and the arrested man had not yet been given any clear explanation of what he was doing. How much you want to bet the containers either contain regular fuel or urine? This guy probably lives out of his car down by the river. He's probably homeless, and he urinates in these bottles. I'm going to guess if they don't tell us what the fluids are, I bet it's urine. I've run across these guys. For some reason, they like to save their urine in their cars. And I know I'm being gross here, but I just have this expectation. It's probably some homeless guy. Doesn't know the G8, the G20 from Colonel Sanders was just going, I'm going to go into town and see if I can get me some grub. And he has a homemade crossbow, which may or may not have suction cup arrows. I just find it funny that this is world news. You know, they were hoping it was another Fozzie Bear terrorist guy from New York. You know, they thought he was going to... His big metal container on the top, he probably made it as his shelter. He probably sleeps in it.
He may look like a Fozzie Bear.
Yeah, and the other thing is, they don't mention what his race is. Did you notice that? They say a Caucasian male, Native American male. Okay, I found a picture here. Some of the containers are 5-gallon water jugs. There are three red gas cans. He probably had water and gas. He's probably one of the modern, you know, homeless... that moves around in his car. The car doesn't look too old. I'm looking at the big metal container on top. It looks like a shelter or a storage bin. Yeah, funny. They're just so hurting for terrorist news that they have to report this. And it's kind of sad. Wow. I'm at a loss for words. I'm afraid. We went down today. Unfortunately, we had to give Anthea back today because she freaked out on us and wanted to go live the high life back up in Napa for a week or two before she came back. Please pray for my family. Pray for Anthea to not lie and manipulate. It's tough. I know it's tough being a 9-year-old girl in a divorce situation, but she misses all of her high-end toys and games and the swimming pools and going out to dinner every night. We just can't do that here. You know, we have just enough money to feed ourselves here where we live. And I know I'm throwing a little personal thing in there, but we are a Christian radio show first, and I need your prayers. Pray for my daughter. She's Anthea, and she's 9 years old, and she's going through some stuff, and she's starting to play some games, and it really breaks our hearts, but we got to remember she's 9. It's easy to get mad at her. I was furious at her yesterday. But today, I just look at her, and she's just trying to cope. On the national news front, is Germany's government headed for a breakdown? Now, Germany, you got to remember, has been the load-bearing wall of the economy. They're the ones that have been doing the bailouts for Greece and Portugal and stuff. They've been sending money. On the backs of the German people, it's almost been like a war debt. I mean, where have we seen this before in the last century? The German people were paying for everybody else's mistakes, everybody's fiat currency, everybody's socialist governments. Well, here's a Time magazine article for today that came out. It was only 8 months ago that Angela Merkel was reelected German chancellor amid buoyant approval ratings and the giddy promise offered of by a new center-right government. But these days, the constant sniping at her coalition has the German public fuming and the media begging her to put an end to the fighting. Every time she tries to paper over the cracks and implore her government partners to get back in line, another crisis bubbles up. Now, Merkel is under siege, with most Germans not believing, maybe even hoping, that her government won't serve its full term until 2013, an opposition party is calling for a fresh election. Now, they may not be having economic, it may be leadership problems, but if Germany falls, or Germany loses the respect of investors, basically that's all what it is, we're going to see a huge domino effect in Europe. Now, the debt crisis in Greece forced Germany to push an unpopular rescue package through their government. Just like us, the people are like, what? People of Germany are like, when do we have to keep paying for these other people's mistakes? Now, we're going to see a little window into how things are going to happen here. So keep your eye on Europe. I'm just bringing it up for that. Don't just, you know, it's easy for us as militia people and to say, well, you know, screw the rest of the world. We don't want anything to do with them. What, you know, they made their own bed. They agreed to that, you know, economic union over there, the European Union. Let them die. Well, unfortunately, the world is a global economy now, and that's how they planned it. We're all connected. The Asian markets, the European markets, our markets are all connected. I can't go into it in detail because I don't always understand it. But now that Germany is having issues, watch the snowballing effect that take place. When Greece goes under, they have civil war, a bunch of Greeks kill each other. the world can survive. It's just another. It's just like when a you know one of the former Soviet satellites you know starts to eat its young. But when Germany goes under, watch out, because Germany, France, Belgium, they're at the core of what's going on over there, and their process is starting to come to fruition to show that it just doesn't work. You just can't print money and hand it out. The fiat money system, which fiat basically means it's just by decree. It's just made up. It's not real. I mean, I could pick up rocks off the ground and say, okay, all rocks over 2 inches in diameter are worth $100, and I demand that you take it. It doesn't make it a righteous weights and measures. It's unbiblical. So Pastor Wright say? Your chickens have come home to roost. Remember that?
I don't know.
I can't remember if it was chickens or vultures or whatever, but something's coming home to roost for Europe. So keep an eye out for that in the news. You know, I predicted Venezuela was going to pull something. Watch Germany. You know, in France, they're having riots today. Well, they're calling them protests. They're striking because they're going to raise their retirement age. I think now it's like 48 or something ridiculous. I got to look it up. But they're starting to lose their cushy socialist extras because they can't pay for them. Yeah, it's 60 to 62. 60 to 62 in France. Well, when we come back, we're going to be over on, hopefully, Liberty Tree Radio. I don't know if we were on yesterday or not. I heard no feedback. But we're going to continue to do another hour of the show. Remember, I want you to call in 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. And we'll be back after a song and a commercial and an intro. We'll be right back.
Hear them as the answer to that roll call in the sky. Colonel Travis, Davy Crockett, and 180 more, Captain Dickinson, Jim Bowie, present and accounted for. Back in 1836, Houston said to Travis, get some volunteers and go fortify the Alamo. Well, the men came from Texas and from old Tennessee, and they joined up with Travis just to fight for the right to be free. Indian scouts with squirrel guns, men with muzzle loaders, stood together heel and toe to defend the Alamo. You may ne'er see your loved ones, Travis told them that day. Those who want to can leave now, those who fight to the death, let them stay. In the sand he drew a line with his army saber. Out of 185, not a soldier crossed the line. With his banners a-dancing in the dawn's golden light, Santa Anna came prancing on a horse that was black as the night. Sent an officer to tell Travis to surrender. Travis answered with a shell and a rousing rebel yell. Santa Anna turned scarlet, played to Quaylo, he roared, I will show them no quarter, everyone will be put to the sword. 185, holding back 5,000. 5 days, 6 days, 8 days, 10. Travis held and held again. Then he sent for replacements for his wounded and lame. But the troops that were coming never came, never came, never came. Twice he charged, then blew recall on the fatal third time. Santa Anna breached the wall, and he killed them one and all. Now the bugles are silent, and there's rust on each sword, and the small band of soldiers lie asleep in the arms of the Lord. In the southern part of Texas, near the town of San Antonio, like a statue on his fiddle rides a cowboy all alone. And he sees the cattle grazing where a century before Santa Anna's guns were blazing and the cannons used to roar. And his eyes turn sort of misty and his heart begins to glow, and he takes his hat off slowly to the men of Alamo. To the third
government.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. If our family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, bum. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World
order. A new world order. Attention.
Government is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Jerry's
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
And we're live. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. We come to you Monday through Friday on U Broadcast for now. We're trying to do a U Stream thing. We've been doing some practicing with it. From DutchJones.tk, we're on MySpace, we're on Facebook, and you navigate around those pages. Just look for Dutch Jones, and you'll see little embedded areas where you can also listen. Now, the way U Broadcast works, for those of you that don't know, is it replays the last show that we recorded, so it'll loop. But you can listen to other shows at the archive, and you can get that on DutchJones.tk. It's like Dutch Jones, Daisy Door, I can never remember that. But Olima has saved what she could, and it's there. Some shows are lost, I admit that. It's not your fault, it's not my fault, it's the computer's fault. It's actually U Broadcast's fault, because sometimes it just locks up and doesn't let us do it. So some things are just out there in the ether, and if you recorded those things and you have them, that's great too. But we are here in Central California, and we are also going out on Liberty Tree Radio, which is an honor. We're reaching a whole different kind of audience than what I've normally had, and I enjoy that. I like bringing the militant Christian worldview, and I know I'm not going to teach you guys on Liberty Tree Radio anything about the militia or survival or anything like that, but I can teach you about how the early militias in America were Christian-driven, those kind of things, and I'll share with you. I'll also share with you whatever events we're taking part in, and I don't know how much of yesterday, if it all got aired on Liberty Tree Radio, I don't know, because the way the computers were working, I couldn't even tell. But there is a call-out coming from this region. We are calling all militia people, individuals, people that are angry about what's going on in the Buenos Aires Wilderness Reserve, where our federal government is basically, through just inaction, given at least three counties and a bunch of federal, you know, chunks of three counties, some federal land to Mexico, and are allowing immigrants, invaders, and drug cartels and rogue elements of their military and law enforcement to just operate at will. It's like 80 miles long. I haven't been able to figure out how wide it is, but it's this huge corridor where they're not allowing it in. If you've listened to Mark's show, The Intelligence Report, he's talked about it. I've talked about it. Well, we decided, I put out a call when I first heard about it, and I was just angry. Like, why isn't anybody responding to this? Where are the militias? Why aren't we taking it back? Well, there are some people in Southern California, Minutemen, and militias that have organized a rally point, if you were, a digital rally point, and I'm going to give that information out in a little bit, to have an operation July 9th, 10th, and 11th. July 9th, 10th, and 11th, and it's going to be unbearably hot, but we don't always get to fight in, you know, perfect weather. That's why we train in harsh weather. Something needs to be done. The local militias in Arizona are asking for our help. They will operate as our guides, our pathfinders, as it were. And we're going to go down there over these 3 days. I know we're going to be there for at least 2 days, it looks like now. I don't know if we can cut Sunday because, you know, our pastor needs to be back for church unless we can find a guest speaker to come in. It's still up in the air. But I just got off the phone with some folks, and from our listening audience, I've already got at least 5 people from the listening audience that are going from California area. We're hoping to get 100 people at least to show up for this. Friday night will be briefing, and it's basically going to be OPLPs, observe and report, but you need to come with a very strong defensive posture. Bring your gear. Remember, Arizona has some of the best firearms laws in the country. You know, but transporting to there for some of you that are coming a long way is going to be tough. And this thing is out there. So the feds know what's going on. The local law enforcement is happy about it. I'm sure Immigration and Customs is happy about it. But the federal agencies involved in this is going to be a big slap in the face to them. Because as you guys know, if you've been following this, they put signs up that basically say, Americans, keep out. It's too dangerous for you. And we as the federal government are not going to do anything to stop it. We're going to allow them to operate here. And so the group that's doing it is called Coalition of Patriots 1776. Now, if you want to contact them, I'm going to give you the email first. And there are some underscores in this, and so listen closely when I do it. It is coalition underscore of underscore patriots 1776 at hotmail.com. So that's coalition, spelled C-O-A-L-I-T-I-O-N underscore O-F underscore P-A-T-R-I-O-T-S 1776 at hotmail.com. And if you didn't get that, you can call into the show. I'd like to hear from you guys if you're planning on going and you have any questions. If you live in Iowa or Montana and you're not familiar with desert operations, I am here to answer your questions. I've been operating in the desert since 1992. We did yesterday's show. We talked a lot about obvious hydration issues and shelter issues and, you know, crispy sunburn issue, you know, that kind of thing. But if you have any other questions, if I can't answer it, I know we have people in the audience that will, because there's a lot of folks that listen to this show that have been doing this. I've been saying for years, where's the militia on the border? It is a perfect opportunity for the militia to get off the keyboard, out of the backyard, and actually deploy somewhere. But the problem is that people haven't seen this as an issue they should tackle. They go, well, that's California, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas. That's not us. Well, it's a regional issue at the very least. It's not a local issue, because the takeover of America by these invaders, whether legal or illegal, I don't see a difference between them anymore. There is a fifth column of 20 to 24 million here. And they're invading. We talked about the weapons cache in Texas that they found. It's on. And to ignore it is to be ignorant. This is a perfect opportunity for militias to get off their hands, stop sitting on their hands, because there are a lot of them out there that do. If you've been to my YouTube page, you know I criticize that. Sure, you guys look great in the videos running around with the rock music and the smoke and everything, but what have you done? You showed up to help for a lost kid once or twice. You know, that's great. But this is a great opportunity to go into a no man's land. This is like Tora Bora. And, you know, this is like the part of Pakistan where nobody goes. Remember they caught that Rambo guy from Greeley, Colorado that wanted to go kill bin Laden? It's kind of like that area. It's forgotten land. It's abandoned. And here's a chance to do it. And the phone number again is 619-300-6883. You talk to Pete. That's Pete, P-E-T-E. Papa Echo Tango Echo. Tell him you heard about it on the Dutch Jones Show. Just because I want to plug in to show where it's coming from. And so far, they got people from about four states coming. But, of course, they're in the region. Utah, Nevada, Arizona, California. We need outsiders to come down and see what our area of operations is like. Now, where I'm at right now, I'm about an 8-hour drive, I think, from this region, maybe a little longer. So it is a sacrifice to make it, but this could be our Lexington and Concord. It may not, it probably not, but it could be. It could be, and I think it's a great way to just poke the federal government in the eye and say, you're saying you can't do this? Look what we're doing with 100, 200 people. Civilian militia members, citizen soldiers, real ones, not the National Guard, not the Army Reserve, not a bunch of combat engineers that you send down to work on the fence and you don't arm them. That's what they're doing. Not a bunch of weekend warriors that are just allowed to sit behind a desk. We're going out there. And I think this is a golden opportunity. And we have before us this opportunity to show America what's really going on. And, of course, the press will probably get down there, but I recommend not even talking to the press. Just do what you're going to do. Do the righteous thing. But if you have any questions, you can call in here. It's area code 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. And if you're thinking about going, you're definitely going. We want to hear from you. Why wouldn't you go? And, you know, we're open here. If you think this is a terrible idea, I want to know why you think it's a terrible idea, and I want to see if I can persuade you otherwise. And I'm not going to argue with anybody, you know, if you're belligerent or something, I'll just push the button. But if you've got a reasonable reason, say, like, oh, it's too high profile or something like that, and for you, then, you know, I may agree with you. Say, that's right. For you, maybe you shouldn't be doing it. And it doesn't matter what shape you're in. That's another thing. We talked about heat casualties and watching each other. I have no doubt that there'll be a tactical operations center, a TOC, that you'll be able to serve in. You know, and of course, they're going to need medical personnel that maybe are patrolling around in a vehicle, making sure everybody's hydrated, you know, in the high-profile posts, and then, you know, the clandestine posts, you know, they're going to have to be taking care of themselves. It's going to be a great opportunity to just to do some real field work against an actual enemy. I'm not going to lie to you. The risk is high here. This isn't like going to a tea party and getting to wave your sign and yell and scream and have the media take pictures of you. This is the real deal. I've been on the border off and on since 1991-92. Been shot at, been beaten, hit with rocks. Guys have tried to stab me. But then there'll be huge gaps of just monotony watching the border. And it's just regular intervals of people sneaking over and you call them in. The golden days are gone. We can't tackle them, zip time, and wait for Border Patrol anymore. There's been a bunch of federal mandates that say we can't touch them. But you're able to defend yourself if they become aggressive. But don't go there with that attitude like, oh, we don't need people like that. So, you know, I'm going to go down there and shoot me some illegals. Shoot me a drug dealer. That's not the kind of person we're looking for. We're looking for somebody who has discipline, has the ability to work their shift in the OPLP, and effectively transfer information rapidly and concisely. Think shore watcher, think sniper observer. There will not be any targets of opportunity given to you, but if you're taking fire, you know, that's a different situation because the federal government says it's deadly for Americans to go in there. Here's the chance to take it back. So if you have any questions about that or anything, let me know. I'd really be delighted to see if I can do that. And we're going to have Pete, the contact person, on probably next week sometime. He's got to get the information together. And, you know, this is the thing that you want to carpool for, double up. You know, those of you that read Patriots, three or four guys into an SUV, share the cost, take your vacation, come on down. It's just 3 days. 3 days that I feel will make a huge difference. A huge difference. And it's from, you know, there'll be militias from all over the region represented there, as well as Arizona. They're the hosting parties. And when we get Pete on, we'll get some more specifics, because as of right now, I know that much after just talking to the folks over the phone and reading some emails that I've received. And if you want to get the call-out that I received, the militia call-out, you need to email me. Get ready. Pick up your crayon. DutchJonesShow@yahoo.com. That's DutchJonesShow@yahoo.com. And I will just forward you what they sent to me. It's because it's got all the information in there. It talks about what the different days are going to be, you know, an overview. Because, of course, for operational security, they're going to give us the briefing when we get there on Friday. And the op doesn't even have a name. I mean, you know, like Operation Condor. You know, Operation... Do they have armadillos in Arizona? I don't think
Operation
so.
Operation Tumbleweed.
Operation Tumbleweed. You know, it doesn't have anything like that.
Operation
and
going to the Forbidden...
Yeah, Forbidden Zone. Operation Forbidden Zone, like from Planet of the Apes. Don't wander into the Forbidden Zone. That's what the signs are saying. They don't want you to know that they're allowing all that heroin to come in that way. You know, all that heroin... Yeah. Opium. All that opium from Afghanistan has to get into America somehow. Yeah, Operation Stop Druggie, and the Border Patrol and the volunteers along the border have been doing too good of a job, so they had to isolate this one area so they could get their drugs in to pay for all their black bag operations. I honestly believe that. I'm not making that up as a joke. I think that they made this corridor so it would be easier to get the, you know, the real governments of the United States drugs in so they could fund their black bag operations. And if you don't think that's happening, you're awfully naive. So, I mean, the poppy fields are like tripled over there. Under the Taliban, they were beheading people for doing that. Now we're encouraging it. We're not even going through and devastating their fields. And it's spilling over into America with all the violence that comes with it. I said earlier in the first hour, and I'm going to get back on this, I consider all immigration from south of the border bad. not just illegal immigration, but all of it. We need to shut the door. We need to slam the door and nail it shut. They've destroyed our institutions here in California. They've destroyed our cesspool system. I'm sorry, our school system. They've infiltrated at the highest levels of our state government and just destroyed it. They've overburdened our social institutions to the point where our nation, well, my state is my nation. I believe in that. I don't believe in the federal government, you know, as an entity. I believe in the citizen of the state concept. And they've destroyed the state. And it's going to be bringing us back to almost a Stone Age level, because that's what Mexico's like. Let's see, what did I get here? I just got a... Oh, no, it's a comment not related to anything I'm saying right now. So, I can't see a positive outcome with this. It's going to break the back of America. I believe it's going to be one of the weak links in this house of cards that when they decide to exploit it, they're going to push it. And being that there are just so many here in California already, that's why it's important. This is a regional issue, and it will become a national issue when these states start to fail because of it. Arizona, we've got to support Arizona. They have put themselves out on a limb. They have taken great risk to the safety of their people, of their economy, risking huge lawsuits from Obongo and Hitlery, that they're showing some guts, and we need to support that. We need to, showing up and doing this operation in this wilderness area will answer so many questions for me. Do we have the backbone to back up those that stand in the gap? Do we really? Or are we just going to go, oh yeah, that's great, Arizona's doing that, yeah, hurrah for them? Do we have the backbone to support those who stand in the gap? And number two, are we really ready to just move around and deploy ourselves anywhere in the country where the fight starts? Are we truly a militia that is capable, able, and ready and willing to answer the call when God sends it? Because I still believe this is a holy cause of liberty. And the way that the militias in America respond to what Arizona is doing will let me know whether or not we are truly lost or there is hope for a restoration of the republic. I seriously am going to judge every militia in America by how they respond to this. You may say, hey, gee, that's awfully harsh. Where do you get off doing that? I've been involved in or watching the militia movement since I was 14 years old. My father, my uncle, neighbors were all involved in it long before everybody even called it the militia. They were just local men that armed themselves, trained themselves, ex-military guys. They didn't use the term militia back then in Colorado. It was just, they always did posse comitatus, free men, whatever they wanted to use at the time. And it's evolved into this homogenous militia thing. And I want to see if the nation's militia is militia in name only, or will they respond to this? Now, I understand economics, short notice, can't get the time off, but if your militia can't send equipment or funding to these people to help them, or send one guy, just one guy. Everybody takes $20 out of their pocket, gives the guy the gas money and the bean money to get there, so he can eat his beans and weenies on the border. I honestly think it will change my paradigm of how we're going to get out from under this. Because if we can't answer this call in a positive and yes, aggressive manner, to stand up for the people of Arizona and the government of Arizona, I'm not going to take anything a lot of militias say seriously. I'll just kind of like, yeah, whatever, where were you when this happened? And they always say that a patriot is a rare find in the beginning of resistance. You know, I'm paraphrasing the great quotes of Mark Twain and a couple other people, but once it gets going, then they join the bandwagon. Here's your chance to be on the ground floor of this event. Arizona is going to be the calling, clarion call of this revolution. I think it's really going to be.
It was being a patriot costs something.
Yeah, yeah. They wait until it costs nothing at all. You're saying, yeah,
that's what the quote was.
Yeah, when you can do it safely and you're not going to lose your farm or your family, and you go, yeah, I'm a patriot. I was with Arizona in the beginning. What are you doing for the holy cause of liberty? Are you just buying all the camouflage and face paint you can and standing in front of your cyber cam and going, woo, look at me? Or when they actually... It's like, I don't understand why the militia hasn't been on the border in mass. You have the Arizona militias, the California militias that have shown up. I've seen guys from as far away as Illinois show up for the Campo Minutemen that, you know, were in militias out there. But I've never seen a day... I've seen bikers show up in mass. 200, 300, 400 bikers on a weekend to stand with us on the border. I've seen all kinds of different groups show up, even the Tea Party types. But I've yet to see, hi, we're from the Montana militia, you know, some name, and we heard about you guys. We'd like to come down and do a five-day stand with you guys. I just don't see it. Here is a real issue, a real tool of the New World Order that needs to be clipped. And nobody's answering the call because, well, that's too far away. It's not in my area of operations. Our borders affect everybody. The birth rate and crime rate of these invaders affect all of us. You can't go to a city in America and not find damage done by immigrants. Yeah, this isn't an anti-Mexican show. This is a pro-American show. And I'm not even talking America. Pro these United States. I have little care or concern for the federal government at this point. I consider them just as bad. In fact, they're facilitating this invasion. But these states like Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, California, yes, California, there are patriots on the border here now. From San Diego all the way to Yuma, there are people out there. There are people 24 hours a day. They may not cover the whole border. But I know Vietnam veterans. I know of a guy from Czechoslovakia. We call him Czech Stand. Came to this country legally. He's Czechoslovakian Air Force veteran. Guy is out there. I know of a Vietnam veteran that has been all over. He's driven every inch of the border from sea to sea to the Gulf. He stopped at every location where a law enforcement officer or a Border Patrol agent was murdered by an illegal alien or aliens or immigrants. And done a memorial service. He's with the Campo Minutemen. We call him Kingfish. That was the name of his boat that he had that was sunk. Okay, I got someone here who's listening to the show. Darren says, I'm in Philly. I would love to catch a ride or just drop off some stuff for them. I'm going to tell him thanks. I don't know. Is there a Darren? This is from Darren Lester. He says, I'm in Philly. I would love to catch a ride or just drop off some stuff for him. He just IM'd me. And you can do that through Facebook. You know, on Facebook, you can pops right up in front of me. He did that like 4 minutes ago. I'm going to just... That is what we need. So, a listener out there in... Wait, Philly? We have a lot of listeners in Pennsylvania. Is PennDOT in the chat room?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, so... Anyway, it's good to know he's listening, and the guys on the East Coast, I understand if you can't make it. That doesn't mean you should just ignore this and let the burden be carried by the people in those border states. Because when that border gets ripped open, it affects you. Next time you go to a Denny's, look behind the counter there and look who's cooking for you. Pay attention to the busboy. They're all fifth column. I honestly believe that. They're here to secure... for the invading troops. They're planting weapons all over the border. The militaries are crossing over. Mexican naval helicopters, special forces units, are coming across the border and reconnoitering the neighborhoods where federal law enforcement officers live in Texas. That we share a border that is a lake, and they're crossing the lake. Their patrol boats are crossing the lake and invading our territory daily. They are shooting at our law enforcement officers. They are shooting at our Minutemen along the border. And everybody seems to say, well, that's their problem. I just replied to Darren Lester there. Thank you for listening. I'm telling you, we have no idea where this message goes. People listen all over the place. I get emails from people that heard copies of it that were handed out in Belgium. I have somebody who heard it in New Zealand on whatever their ham radio service is down there. Liberty Tree Radio goes everywhere. So I'm glad to be on here. It is a great conduit for our message. I don't know if you guys are agreeing with me or you're afraid to come on, but go ahead and give me a call. And if you're a Facebook person, you can instant message me. I got one instant message today when I was sending stuff out, and they said, we can't cover the whole border. It would be impossible. No, it wouldn't. That's a defeatist attitude. And even if we're not looking to cover the whole border, this event that's happening in July, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. We take back this wildlife preserve. We tell the federal government that they are cowards, that they have deliberately given this to them for nefarious reasons, and we call them on it. We call them on it. See, civil government has forgotten that they serve us, not the other way around. And that is a biblical concept of civil government that has been lost since about early 1800s. It started slowly to decay then. As soon as we became a nation, boom, scumbags started taking over. Just the nature of the beast. It's just like you, as soon as you start something, the knee biters come in. You know, the people that are trying to strike at your ankles, the serpents. And it doesn't matter if it's Zion or Zionists or whatever, they're there. And they try to destroy the concept that made this nation great. And now, I think we've all but lost it. I mean, the only thing that hasn't happened is that there's cracks in the dam of liberty, and there's just one of these areas is going to go and the whole thing's going to go. This is one way of preparing yourself for that day, because I think it's inevitable. I really do. I don't think we can turn it around. I think we've passed that tipping point. And slowing down the process so others can come to our cause. So by showing up in Arizona, yes, it may just be a stopgap measure. It may just be a Band-Aid on this 180-mile corridor. But it's going to allow you to get some real-world experience, especially if you're not a combat veteran. And I don't believe in bragging rights, but think about how it will be when you go back to your state militia and said, yeah, I did 3 days a week, whatever you choose to do, standing on the wall. And guys with guns were coming through. We'll be back after the break. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program on Liberty Tree Radio and the Dutch Jones Radio Network.
We have to have subtitles in 5 languages these days. Now we don't ask too much to share this land of liberty. You please speak English. English is my language. It's the language of this land. And every time it's posted here, I should understand. I do not live in China, Mexico, no foreign place. And English is the language of these United States. Now I'll speak very clear for you, so they'll be no mistake. The one you spoke before. English is my language. It's the language of this land. And every time it's posted here, I should understand. I do not live in China, Mexico, no foreign place. And English is the language of the United States.
Hey! reach of these United States.
In the best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival escape routes and plans and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones radio program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand and water filters.
Government.
There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out an all-points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention!
Government
is an emergency. Repeat, an emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
And we're back. I think. Are we back? Yes, we're back. This is the Dutch Jones radio program for the... did we decide it was the 23rd of June? 24th of June. June has flown by. I mean, I can't. I mean, I had so many things I had to get done this month, and I'm behind the eight ball on all of them. We repaired our water heater. For those of you that are longtime listeners, the water heater fund raised up to about 150, and we kicked in the other 150, plus all kinds of other little gadgets and doodads. So it was the last of our money for the week or month, and we got it put in thanks to a brother up here. Who's usually in the studio audience. I look down and I see he's on the computer down in the church. He's probably listening down there. And we got that done. We have three vehicles in need of repair. We've been kind of loaned one from my ex-wife that was mine, one of those sad sob stories that's running great. And I tried to use one of our cars today to go to a rendezvous for the child transfer and the divorce. And we barely made it there and back. We were trying to go another 30 or 40 miles to go check on some technology that we have being repaired, and I had to turn around and come back because the transmission was slipping, and it's just, so just pray for our situation here. I ask for prayers very seldom, but we definitely need them. You guys have answered the financial woes at the minimum. We were able to stay on the air for another month. We were able to kick some donation over to Liberty Tree Radio, and I encourage everybody listening to do that. Go to libertytreeradio.4mg.com, libertytreeradio.4mg.com. Speaking of that, did you get Corky up today? Okay, good. I don't have the little receiver in here where I can listen. It's sitting over here. Usually I like to listen in one ear of what's going on the Intel report. And I get ideas that way. Do that. And if you wanted to go to paying for our bandwidth, that's fine. If you just want to help out Liberty Tree Radio, that's great. Because they have the same kind of costs, probably a lot more than we do. It costs us about it's about $250 a month to keep doing this. Because we have to pay for the electric bill. We have to kick in a love donation for using the facility for the church. We have an $80+ a month internet fee because we have to use a satellite uplink from Wild Blue. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Wild Blue Communications. We have a HughesNet satellite in the church, and it just doesn't work as well. So we had to get a second one, so there's those two. The U-Broadcast, we've decided to go with the $17 one. I got the big one where you have all this storage space. I thought, why am I doing this when Olima, one of our listeners, is archiving it? Why do I need to archive him at U-Broadcast too? So I'm just conning myself. So I just said, well, instead of paying that huge fee that we were paying for all the... We're not getting 500 listeners at a time. I think the most we ever got on U-Broadcast was 57. That was last week, which was great. And that goes into another thing I want to talk about. So we do have needs, but so does Liberty Tree Radio. We want to keep doing this 4 days a week on Liberty Tree Radio. We do it every day but Tuesday during the weekdays. And it's because somebody else has the Tuesday, but that's great. That's fine. If we could do it 5 days a week, we would. But we need to forward your donations to them. So just take me out of the middleman and send it over there for them. And that'll be good. And those guys over there will tell me if it's waning and we need to do another announcement. The other thing is, where was I going with that? I had something else I was going to talk about. And I forgot what it was. Anyway, this is the Dutch Jones Radio Program coming to you from the church at Cahuilla in the foothills of the Sierra Nevadas, right outside Sequoia National Park, which is a haven for the Mexican Mafia to grow their marijuana. So that kind of goes into what we're talking about here, the invasion. Now, those of you that know your Constitution and you also know what's really going on, the federal government has all these new laws and overreaching regulations and all this garbage that they won't do the job they're supposed to do, but instead they regulate whether or not your baby has the right kind of crib. But one of the things they're supposed to do is defend our borders, and that's Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution, and they don't do it. And so it's falling upon us to do it, the militias. And whether you consider the Minutemen a militia or not, it doesn't really matter to me because they don't really train together. They just show up on the mission together. To me, a militia trains together. They have a philosophical cohesion. They have a fellowship together, whether it's a Christian fellowship or just camaraderie, esprit de corps, to use a French phrase. And it's important to realize that I honestly think that the modern militia in America has been negligent and derelict in their duty to defend these borders. Now, there have been some that stood up, the Yuma Patriots, they're out there. I know, I'm not talking to you guys that live in the states along the borders that deploy down there. I'm talking to the interior states that really don't answer it. I mean, a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to have him on again, I had on a gentleman, and I forgot his name. If Minuteman's in the room, he can give me the name of the head of the Border Patrol Auxiliary. They didn't want to use the word militia. They didn't want to use any of that when I interviewed him. But they have groups. They even have a group in Puerto Rico. A Blue Water volunteer group that goes out and makes sure that refugees don't sneak into Puerto Rico. You know, that illegal aliens don't come across. And this is a group out of California that is recruited in Puerto Rico, one of our weird territories. I think we have 7 territories. I could be wrong. But I never hear about, you know, hey, the Ohio militia today sent 200 people to go stand on the border for a week during spring break. One of the greatest moments I ever had in my one of the greatest weeks I ever had in my life were several calls by the Minuteman Project, which has gone underground because of all this stupid infighting. Anytime you get a group that big, it happens. That's why I like little militias, and we can just show up and do our thing. But this big centralized Minuteman Project, you know, say what you will about the leaders, I don't know. But we had someone like every 200 feet along the border in California almost. There were some areas that weren't covered. But, I mean, it was amazing to me. It was April 1st, and God help me, I do not know the year. It seems like so long ago, and it seems like yesterday. I mean, there were truck drivers that said, I can only be here for 2 days, and they parked their semi 20 feet from the fence and just kept their lights and their everything going to be a physical deterrent. There were families that came out with all their little 4x bikes and, you know, what do you call those, quads and stuff, and scooters, and they brought the whole family out. And we all covered each other. There was some stuff. Rocks were thrown. Shots were fired at us. But that first major event that I took part in there was better than anything I'd ever seen. I'd done stuff with Ranch Rescue and different groups and different little vigilant. Our militia, before, you know, would just go out on the border and we were making it look like we were just camping. And truly what we were doing is we were doing what we were supposed to be doing, securing our border. And to give you another side of it, it's not all just observe and report. You'll be amazed at some of the things you see. Pregnant women coming and giving birth. One of the most horrible stories I ever heard was from a friend of mine named Tom, called him Bandit. He was in Campo, years, and he served at this one position, observation post 151, Hill 150. Well, it's actually Tower 151, the big power towers that go along the border. There's a little covered cabana kind of thing. And in the fog, they could hear people on the other side of the fence and all this stuff going on. And suddenly, out of the fog, appears this father holding out a bloodied baby. He had dropped his child coming across the border, and the baby had a head injury. And he just hands it across the border saying, "Help me." So they had medical personnel. They lended aid and, you know, and those types of things. And then they called Border Patrol, so they were arrested. But that's the kind of stuff you're going to see, too. It's not going to all be rifles. Hello, Stacy. Are we in, having a good day? Yeah, wait till we'll be done in about 15 minutes. I'll tell you what's up with Anthea. Yeah, I know. It's broken my heart, too.
Yeah.
It's sad when a member of your family says, "You're not interesting enough. I want to go back to my other step family." But you'll be surprised at the stuff you'll see on the border. I've had weird encounters with, you know, like law enforcement, federal law enforcement, coyotes just coming up and saying, "Hey, what are you doing here?" And I'll say, "I'm defending my country." Not right now. Did you want to make something? Well, we got about 15 minutes. We can decide in 15 minutes what we're going to do for dinner, okay? Let's wait 15 minutes and we'll do something. So you see where I'm coming from here? You've got to have an open mind, yes, to come down and do this operation. You've got to have safety, of course, in your mind as the most important thing. But be ready to experience something like you're not going to experience in a cornfield in Iowa. Sorry, I'm picking on the middle of America. I should say a ski lodge in Colorado. It's gonna broaden your horizon like you've never thought. Or it may be 3 days of terrible boredom, but that's good training too, isn't it? Learning how to stay observant even when nothing's happening. When you're, you know, I've sat up on a position with a starlight scope for 3 or 4 days and not seen another living soul except for my relief or the people bringing around coffee and donuts and soda and donuts to keep us awake. I've had protests where I thought I was going to die. You know, I'm out there with two other guys because we like to operate in three-man groups, and here comes, you know, 200 angry mestizos that want to just beat you and hit you with rocks.
We have 200 grams.
But you made it back. You know, you fight it out, you get bloodied, and you'll never forget those days. It's just like the guy I was talking about, Bandit. The guy's like a brother. I don't know where he is now for reasons I can't go into. He's kind of disappeared. But I'll never forget, you know, weeks on end. I was fortunate. I was a private investigator. I could kind of work when I wanted to. You know, work 3 weeks out of the month, you know, getting all my money together, and then take 2 weeks off. And I went straight to the border. You know, back when I lived in Southern California, it was only a 4-hour drive south of San Diego and head due east on Interstate 8 to hit the cutoff for Campo, California, and go south and drive down. It's funny, it was Nathan Bedford Forest Road went right to the border. It was an old post-Civil War military post is what was in Campo. The Buffalo soldiers were there. And they named all the roads in the area after Confederate generals. I don't think there were any Northern generals, but the dirt roads were all, so that was kind of a neat experience. And if you want to get in touch with them, the Campo Minutemen, just go to my website. You look up at the top. There's a link in the link box, but there's also a picture of me. I'm the tubby guy standing on the border with my buddy Bandit, you know, standing there, and that's a link to their site. But before you do that, take part in this operation that's going on in July. Start reading up on hot weather operations, desert operations. Now, you got to realize it's going to be 110, 111 during the day. It might be 40 degrees at night. It's going to stretch your abilities, and you're going to know what you can operate in, because we don't know where the New World Order is going to push us. Now, I know what you're saying. I'll never give up my state. I'm never going to retreat from let's pick another one here. I'm never going to retreat from Rhode Island. I wouldn't retreat from Idaho. That's pretty much that's where we're all going to end up. But you don't know where the Lord is going to lead you in this holy battle. You don't know where your call to duty is going to be. Isn't that what they're talking about in the chat room, the call to duty or something like that? Call of duty? Is it? They were? Oh, yeah. Lou was telling me that Liberty Tree Radio, they're just talking about video games. Hopefully they're listening. Hopefully I'm not boring them. We have an opportunity that God has laid out before us here. And I think for us to pass this up is would be a sad, sad waste of the opportunity. And I can't wait till, you know, when we get back and I'm going to be telling stories about what we did. Watch, I'll probably go out there and get bit by a Gila monster and die or something. Giant Gila monster like on Mr. Science Theater.
Probably got to put my leg up on something.
Yeah, yeah.
We could shoot him, can't we?
I think Gila monsters are protected. The best thing to do is run away from them. I shoot anything that's going to try and eat me, bite me, poison me, make me dance like a little girl because it scared me, is going to get its head chopped off with at least a machete.
Skin it and eat it.
Yeah, we're going to skin it and make Lou eat it. So that's what we'll do. Start studying the area. Like I said, I don't know if it went out yesterday or not. I haven't heard yet if we actually transmitted yesterday. As much water as you think you need, double it. Don't go out there in a pair of shower shoes, cutoffs, and a wife beater t-shirt because you go, oh, gee, it's going to be real hot. Yeah, it's going to be real hot. No, you cover up. You wear a hat. You think about the Arabs out there in the Middle East. Do you see them running around? No, don't wear ski masks. Not those Arabs. The ones that the nomads that live in 120-degree heat. I'm not saying dress up like a suicide bomber, Lou. That's not what I meant. That tells you where Lou's mind is. But no, what?
Shema.
Yeah, we're a shema. Is that what they call the Afghan, you know, towel head looking thing? Our military's all adopted. They're called shmas or something like that. Shema. It sounds like a sound you make when you accidentally sneeze and try to stifle it. Shema. So I don't know what it is, but yeah, and figure out how to blend in. This is a great place for your summer ghillie suits, man. I got a winter ghillie suit. If I go down there in that, I'm gonna bake. But I may make a new one just for this operation to see what it's like. Google, you know, it's the Buenos Aires wilderness area.
Google is your friend.
Yeah, Google is your friend. You know, yeah. Google Earth it, take a look at the area, see what it's like, and start doing some pre-planning. Now, I'm not going to talk about this for the, I get Friday and stuff, but the next time we talk about this is going to be when we have one of their representatives on. We're setting that up right now, going to have them do a call-in. I mean, I know it'll tie up the phone line for all you people that call in the show. This is the weirdest thing. I've never had a call-in show where people didn't call. I mean, even people that were mad at me would call in. But it's like, I don't know, maybe it's because it's dinner time. People are taking naps to my dulcet tones of my voice. What is it, my voice that would make a wolverine purr? Or was it badger? Make a badger hiccup or a wolverine? I don't know what it is.
Make a badger smile.
Make a badger smile and a wolverine purr. Yeah. But when I first started doing this, I was getting so many calls. It was funny. I had all kinds of crazies and everybody calling me. Now it's like even the regulars are IMing me. In fact, I got to go back. I'm getting IMs from. Oh, look, here's another one. Let's see. Someone from. Oh, it's another one from Pittsburgh. Well, we got a lot of people in Pittsburgh. Okay, this guy just wants more information, so I'll send it to him. Do you remember the phone number, Lou? 619-300-6883. Ask for... boy, this guy gave me his whole address and stuff. I'm not going to give that out. Let me do this. See, we got people in Pennsylvania interested in going. That's the second one now. Isn't that amazing? Pennsylvania, almost as far as you can get. From somebody from the tip of Maine. Some lobster, what do you call them? Lobster farmers? Lobster.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be going, Yeah, some guy from Nova Scotia. Yeah, I want to come down, cool. No, I'm kidding. Not really Nova Scotia. What'd you say, oh, cool for? You thought it was really... I'm making a joke. It'd be funny if some Canadian comes down to defend our southern border when Canada says they want all the illegal aliens they can get. Alaska would be probably the farthest. Some guy from, like, Point Barrow, Alaska, off the military base up there.
It's sure hot up here. Yeah,
he'd be like, hey, I can't handle this, eh? Have some moose farmers come down. But that's what we're doing here. We're trying to promote this, trying to get people into it. Oh, look at this. Boy, they're calling. I wonder if it's because I said something. Here we go. Let's see if we can do this. Hello, you're on the air.
I'm calling in so that your self-esteem won't suffer thinking that nobody loves you and wants to talk to you.
Well, you're like a co-host of the show, though. That doesn't count, Minuteman. No, it's Steve from Southern California. Yeah, you're an official co-host, so, I mean... So what did you want to say?
Mainly just to reiterate what you're saying as far as, you know, supplies to have down there. And depending on what you may be doing, talking with Pete, you know, he's going to try to send groups of, you know, 5 to 8 out, so it's not like you're going to be
alone
wolfing it, which you shouldn't do. But whatever you have as far as sun protection, like he told you over the air that, you know, the temperature down there was 111 this past weekend. So it's going to be warm. You're right about drinking lots of water, but bring something for shade.
Yeah.
You know, both. I've got stuff where I've cannibalized ground pads, the foam ground pads. Mm-hmm. Bring something like that to sit on. So if you're sitting on the ground, you're not absorbing the heat from the ground and all that. So.
Oh, okay. That's good advice. Good advice. Now, I was trying to stumble, and I don't know if you put it in the chat room, but your group that you go down with, could you tell us a little bit about your group that regularly goes to the border?
I put it in twice, but yes, I'll go home.
Oh, thanks, Lewis. You didn't tell me anything about it. So go ahead and share it with me.
One of the groups I'm with, there's two different groups. One is the Minuteman Corps of California, which used to be MCDC, the Minuteman Civil Defense Corps.
Chris Simcox's group.
Right. And that has since kind of
right,
you know, faded away or gone away. The other one is the Border Patrol Auxiliary. And Carl Braun is one of the leaders who you've had on your show.
Mm-hmm.
We have both the land-based Border Patrol Auxiliary, which we basically go from Campo down to the O'Neill Valley. It's about a 30-mile stretch of the border, 30 to 40 miles. We also have a Blue Water Border Patrol Auxiliary where either people in the groups or we have people that have yachts that let us use to go patrol.
Oh, that sounds cushy.
Out in the San Diego area, and some of them up at Laguna, because they'll come across, you know, further out, you know, not that close to shore around the San Diego area, then up around Catalina. They'll actually start coming in and either land at Catalina or in the Southern California area because of all the beaches to land there to, you know, offload the people there. So we have Blue Water both in the L.A. County area, then also down in San Diego. And then, like you said, we also have Border Patrol Auxiliary in Arizona and Puerto Rico.
Great, great. And now you've done this quite a bit. You've been on the border. What are some of the peripheral things that you've thought has made this type of mission a little easier? You know, we've talked optics before. We've talked, you know, obviously you brought up a great one, something to sit on. to insulate you from the soil.
Well, a lot of times down at Campo, down in the valley part, we call it the couch position,
right,
where it dips down. There's no fence or other than some, you know, pipes welded across there. We actually bring our, you know, camp chairs or parade chairs and just sit there with our binoculars and what. So it's not like you've got to be, you know, hiding behind some tumbleweed or whatever. A lot of times also in a place we call the Jewel Valley, or it's uh-huh. actually called on the map the Jewel Valley.
Yeah.
There's a section of railroad track, like Carl talked about when he was on, where you can see west probably 3 or 4 miles and east probably about 4 or 5 miles. So we'll actually just set lawn chairs up at the railroad tracks and be there with the binoculars, because if they're coming across, they have to cross the railroad tracks within that, you know, 8 mile stretch. So we just look with the binoculars and you see someone moving, and just, you know, whether it's day or night, whether we're using binoculars or the night vision, and call it in. Out where, you know, I don't think what a lot of people realize, other than you and I and stuff like that that when we say the border and desert area, it's not like Barstow or Victorville.
Right.
That's basically flat, and you've got, you know, some tumbleweeds and Joshua trees and all that. You go down to the border, there's a lot of vegetation there. It is very rocky, very hilly, and very easy to hide. You know, it's not a flat, you know, Barstow-Victorville type thing.
Mm-hmm.
With the rock formations, there's a lot of shade areas where we can hide. What we would normally try to do is we would meet about 4:30 in the morning, go out, try to leave our camp by 5:15 to get out to our positions before sunrise, get in position, and then as the sun comes up, normally they would be crossing between 6:30 and 7:30 in the morning,
mm-hmm.
at first light, and we're already in position then to see and then radio in. If we're out in the evening, we would go out, you know, at 9 in the evening till midnight or whatever in certain areas and just use the night vision and stuff like that. You know, so with our stuff, you know, you've got to be prepared to go out if it's 105 out, 110 out in the day, or, you know, nighttime. There was one time I was out, and you're about to go off the air, when I was out in Campo, and I became a human popsicle out there.
Yeah.
At our base camp, it was warm enough. I dressed appropriately, went out there, and with the wind and stuff, I was like a human popsicle. I was laying behind a rock. I'd sit up for 2 or 3 minutes, look through the night vision, and then lay behind the rock for a wind protection from it because it was so cold.
Sure.
You got to be prepared for the whole gamut.
Great variable. Okay, folks, if you want to know more, email me at DutchJonesShow@Yahoo.com. DutchJonesShow@Yahoo.com. Boy, this hour went by fast. We'll be back tomorrow, both on our feed and on Liberty Tree Radio. I want to thank the folks at Liberty Tree Radio over there. Go to DutchJones.tk. You can help us out there with your financial support at the chip-in, and you can also see a whole bunch of other information. Watch the video there, the new video that's up. We'll be back tomorrow.
Hello?
You're still there?
I are. City school.